Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I am going to go ahead and record this just so I have the memory of what happened and kind of the official documentation of it. And for those that are not able to be here that I trust would want to hear this, let's just go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for this beautiful day today, Lord. We thank you for our journey. And for all the things that we go through, Lord, here to advance your kingdom, Lord, and to help us to stay in right alignment, Lord, before your throne. We thank you, God, for gathering us all together this morning, because your word says that when two or more are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst, Lord. And we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, and may you be lifted up and glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get started, and I want to lay a little preface here before I get started in the fact that where me and Dennis was by the time I met this couple. We have been, you know, praying a lot and stuff and going through a lot, and we was, like, really needing a word from the Lord, you know what I mean? We went to this revival last week, a local revival in a town next to us that had Tommy Bates there that I trusted, you know, from all the way back in Bible college days, 20 years ago. And he happened to come to a town next to me, and I'm like, man, I've got to go. I've got to have a word of the Lord. You know, I need revival in my heart, you know. And, so I went there, and then my eyes see, you know, what the church is doing. My eyes, God help me. You know, like all their cameras in the sanctuary and, you know, what they have probably partnered with, because we know, you know, about these churches getting money and stuff like that. So it's like, man, is there anywhere I can go that is not corrupt, you know? And so we went the next night, but after that we just watched online, you know, so that was kind of disappointing, considering how many churches we have tried to go to and stuff like that, you know, and there's a lot of you out there that are just like us, you know, we're thirsty for fellowship, we miss and longing the worship. And but it's just so hard to find a church these days that is not compromised. And that's so when Monday, my daughter, I asked her, you know, how's she doing? Because she had shingles last week and she's really going through a lot, which I can't say publicly. But she said, well, I'm in a pickle today because I have to go to the doctor. And I have my son here who's got chicken pox. And I'm just, you know. And so I said, I will be there. You know, it takes an hour and a half to get there. I said, I'm coming. I will watch him and you go do what you got to do. So after I finished the prayer call, I took off. I went up there to see her. And which really blessed her so she could go. And then come to find out, they told her she's got shingle in her eyeball, which is terrible because they say you can go blind and stuff, which I know is just a spiritual warfare attack against her because she is a prophet. We found this out in Bible college. And so I know who she is and I know who my sons are. So anyway, I believe this is an attack and, you know, God's let me know he does have everything under control. And then I do have funny stories about my grandson, but I feel after the Lord woke me up this morning, I can't even share that funny stuff because of the heaviness I feel right now in my spirit. So anyways, really enjoyed, you know, spending time with her and everything. But after I left there, I wept and wept and wept because I was in her kitchen, washing dishes, cooking them a big dinner, and just really blessing them, you know, folding the clothes and stuff like that. I wish, you know, I would have had help with when I was a young mom. And so I was in the kitchen praying in the spirit, you know, jamming out to my worship music. And I saw the spirit of death in the house. And I was like, God, you brought me here. I'm fighting. You old devil, you get out of this house. I command you to leave this house. I plead the blood of Jesus over my daughter and over my grandkids and her husband. Just, I know a lot of you out there have a lot of stuff you're dealing with your kids as well. But it was a really good warfare moment that let me know why God brought me there. You know, if, you know, we have to help. And so on the way home, you know, she told me that, you know, my sons were doing ChatGPT. And most of you guys know how I've been, you know, there's this distance between me and my boys. And now I know why. And so on the way home, I was just weeping to God. What's the use of winning the world if I lose my own soul? God, help me to fight for my kids. Forgive me for not warfare more and praying more for my kids. The devil's choking them, you know. So this is where I was at when I met this couple. So I wept all the way home, praying in tongues, weeping. Because I am an intercessor. I know how to pray. And my head has been so much in the beast, you know. It's a disservice to you guys, you know, for us not to be praying more. And I do humbly repent to you guys today. But anyway, so I cried all the way home. God help my kids. And, because I just reported last night on the news 7 cases of death over ChatGPT. And I refused for that spirit of death to take my children. You know, and so on my way to my daughter, you know, where I just went at the last minute, I had to stop at this gas station to get gas. Now, before I go there, because this story will be a while, I want to tell you what happened this morning. Hold on. Sorry. I can't breathe. Hold on. I want to tell you that the Lord spoke to me this morning. I haven't had this in a while. And I am ashamed of that. You know, I should. I used to hear the Lord all the time like this. But I guess I got too much into, you know, the world, what's happening there, the broader distance between me and God. But God's restoring me and stuff. But anyways, whenever God comes to me in the middle of the night and he talks to me, his presence envelops me. And it's kind of a half wake up state, you know, where he's, where I hear him very plainly, and he gives me instructions. This is how, after we did that 40-day fast over President Trump, he gave me 4 nights of dreams with instructions. That's how he did it, is the way I'm telling you now. That's what he did this morning. So I can't tell you all of it, because most of it was for me and Dennis. Some direction that we've been needing. But this is something I can share with you guys as a whole. There is a reason that Trump is placing military in all the cities in 2026. chaos is going to ensue and the great famine. So you need to downsize everything you can right now in the next 6 weeks. As much as you can, sell it while they're in delusion. Now, Trump has been telling everybody, even yesterday, how great the economy is. He's lying through his everlasting teeth. He is holding everybody over like he did, you know, with the vaccine. He kept telling everybody with the COVID, he would say, oh, it's only another week. It's only another week. You know, he kept holding everybody up. Oh, we're going to stop this thing. Don't worry. You know, that's what he's doing now. He is used to hold everybody at bay with flooding of propaganda and distractions. And while they mow it down. And that's what they're doing. So, like last night, whenever they were saying, I think it was in Europe, that everything's going to hit fast. Bam, bam, bam. In other words, just like the way the Bible said, it's going to collapse in one day. So, in other words, they cannot let the people see what is right in front of their face. Because if so, they would stop spending and then all these big tech people wouldn't be making money. Do y'all hear what I mean? So they're keeping them at bay. But God is warning us, prepare, pull out. We need to pull out more out of the metaverse, more, more, more. Okay. As NAR and as Trump and the false church, all of them, the freedom force, as they are pushing everybody in and educating everybody on how to get in there into the metaverse, God is telling us, oh no, you pull out, get out, you know, sell everything you can that is not necessary, people. And of course, ask God for confirmation. You know, I don't want you to go out here and be homeless and say, Mama June told me to sell everything. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying sell or give away. You know, let stuff go. This extra material things you don't need, you know. Because the world that's coming is not the world that they're portraying. Okay, we've got lockdowns coming over there. We have got the grid coming, and we have got this transition. That's a word I heard. Okay, 2026 is the year of transition. So this is the year we all knew was coming, where they're switching over to the new economy. Okay, so for us, we won't be able to go in, or at least the ones that don't want to go into Web3 and stuff, because they're going to require it. And so my suggestion, and what I hear the Lord for sure telling us, that I just wanted to tell you as well, is that to downsize as much as you possibly can. We also know in the future that they are going to be charging people for carbon and all of that kind of stuff for all of the extra that you have. And you don't want to get trapped by debt. Get out of debt. If you have to sell things to pay off things to get out of debt, do that. Get out of debt as much as you can. Be a giver. Be a giver. If you see your neighbors, you know, if you've got too much stuff, like I've got way too much kitchen stuff. I would love to find me some young couples that need stuff. You know, let me bless you. Let me give you some of my cooking utensils and extra plates I have. I don't need all this. Y'all see what I mean? bless, give away, sell, downsize. You know, now there's a lot of these people out here, especially a lot of these big churches that are building all these big churches. I'm like, are you hearing God? Because, you know, we know what's going to be required for you to continue that big building. You're going to have to adopt AI. There's no way around it. You know, if you don't want to adopt AI, you're not going to be able to keep a big building because the beast is coming in, you know, type of deal. Okay, so that's the warning that I have. Get out of debt. Downsize. Get ready for 2026. Another advice I have is make sure your driver's license is up to date. And make sure your paperwork is up to date while you can move around and do all this kind of stuff. Because when they come, you know, if they do the lockdowns, you are going to be at the location of your driver's license. So if you have not updated your address, you need to get all that updated. We saw what happened in Australia. Okay. All right, now, let's move on to the report of this couple. Now, I'm calling this story the Montana couple. They were from Montana. Okay, when I was on my way to go to my daughter, I had to stop and get gas. And I just made this decision at the last minute. So I have to pee so bad. You know, so I pull up to the gas station. I'm like, well, I'm going to fill it up, wash my windshield, and run in there and go to the bathroom real quick. And so I fill it up, and I'm washing the windshield, and this beautiful woman approaches me. She's 40 years old, and she has long, beautiful blonde hair with a beanie hat on that says, Jesus loves you, or something like this. And she goes, ma'am, you know, this real soft voice, ma'am, we're traveling the country for Jesus, and would you mind helping us with gas? We really need some gas. I looked at this woman. I looked at her van that had all this Jesus writing on it. I looked at this woman here, even though I'm about to explode inside, you know what I mean? I was like, woman, you have no idea who you're talking about. Of course, I'm going to fill your car with gas. So I said, let me tell you something. I got to pee real bad. So you go over there. Let's get your car going. We did. We walked over there and got the gas going. I said, let me run in here and take care of business. Then we're going to park over here, and then we're going to talk to me because I would love to interview you. I said, you know, I've interviewed people and stuff. I said, we won't do video, but I'd love to get you on audio and ask you some questions about your journey. Okay. So I get the gas thing going, go inside. Well, I'm in the bathroom doing my business, and God talks to me. God talks to me in the bathroom, and he's like, do you remember Florida? I'm like, yeah. Do you remember that horse farm in Florida that I brought you to? I was like, yes. He said, that's like these people. I want you to treat them like they treated you. And y'all remember the story of the horse farm where I was down in Miami, Florida, and I had just spent my last $5 on gas. And I ended up driving through the gay parade. I didn't know it, but I just turned on this road and ended up in the middle of a gay parade. And I had all this Jesus writing all over my car. And, you know, I'm in there with my worship music just blaring, and I'm praying in tongues and just in my little spirit over here. And I looked up and I saw all these, you know, gay flags and everything. And I'm like, I was like, what the world I got myself into? I just kindly rolled up my windows, you know, and just smiled and waved at everybody. It was so funny. But anyway, so I left there and I pulled over and I said, God, I am really down here at the bottom of Miami. I am at the bottom of the United States. I really just followed you down here and I have nothing. If you don't help me, I don't have nothing. I don't know where to go or nothing. So I get a phone call. And this woman says, do you have somewhere to stay tonight? I'm like, no. She's like, well, my aunt lives about 100 miles from you north. Is there any way that you have enough gas to get to her? And I said, well, actually, I do. I just put in $5. And so I drove all the way to her and made it on E. So this rich woman pulls up, you know, in this SUV, and she pulls out and she goes, darling, let's get you some gas. Filled up the thing with gas and then said, follow me, and then took me to her farm, just like this place. I pull in there and it's this long driveway and there's this beautiful cabin that her husband had built her. And she said, I'm going to have you stay over here. So she takes me to the horse stables. And y'all know I've told you my journey of how God always shows me I'm his horse running, you know, like his Mustang. And so she goes, I made a little profits quarters right here in the horse stables, and I want you to stay here. I said, okay. And I walked in there. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful, man. And she fed me so nice, a really nice dinner and everything. So I go to bed that night. And the next morning, she comes over there and she says, the Lord gave me a dream and told me that I am to keep you for 3 days and I am to really bless you and everything. I said, and she said, you are here to rest. I said, okay. Well, she massaged my feet. She brought me food. I mean, I really got to rest. I had already been on the road 2 months, you know, homeless and everything, traveling the Lord down the entire side of the border. So anyways, God really had her serve me and really bless me. And then when I left, you know, she blessed me with $1,000 to buy my cell phone, which I needed to go live streaming throughout the country. I went to Verizon. So anyways, I'm in the bathroom now, current day, and the Lord tells me, he says, do you remember what happened there in that farm? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're to treat them the same way. And I was like, yes, sir. All right, so I come out, we park over there, and I begin talking to her, and then her husband approaches. She goes, hey, this is my husband. I'm like, because I thought it was just her, you know, like the way I was. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, how you doing, sir, you know? Well, he looks like Jesus, you know, like the pictures they draw of Jesus. He's got the brown hair, long hair, you know, with the beard and with the sandals and looking all earthy like that. And then she's this beautiful girl, a lot shorter. He's real tall. And she's shorter, you know, and they're both really fit people, just young and beautiful. You know, they're both 40. So anyways, so I was telling him, I said, sir, you know, the Lord spoke to me there, and I am to offer you guys to come to our farm for 3 days and to get you some rest. You can get a shower, because I noticed his feet through the sandals that he had. Rough feet, if you know what I mean. I could tell he hadn't had a shower in a long time. But because I was homeless and the 3 years that I was out there like that, I had so much compassion for them. And I told him, I said, look, we're going to be practical. You know, when you come to my house, take you a shower, scrub yourself, you know, wash you some clothes, just rest. You know, this is a time for you to recoup. He said, man, he started crying. He said, I was just praying, God, please let me take a shower. I need a shower. And I told him, I said, well, here's the deal. I said, I have to go take care of my daughter. I don't know if I'm going to stay the night. I don't know what I'm facing when I get up there. But my husband is at the house. And when you come, he will gladly welcome you in. And he will take you to your quarters and everything. Because we had prophet's quarters. So, thank you, thank you. So I said, all you have to do is drive 25 miles straight down this road. It's right off this road, you know. And because they had, now listen, they told me they have no maps. I mean, they have maps, but they have no phone, no electronics, and they are completely off grid. So they had to just write the directions down, type of deal. So, anyways, I interviewed them. So before I get into my thoughts and all of my things that I want to tell you, I want you to hear their interview because this is where we're at right now in the story is I'm standing at the gas station with them and they're very broken and need rest. Okay? So here we go. All right, guys. I know you can't see them like I can, but it's a husband and wife. I'm in Tennessee. I won't even tell the town, but I want you to meet them because they are where I was in 2017. Now, if you don't mind just telling them what y'all's ages are, how's that?
We're 40.
We're both 40.
Wow, you're 40 years old in the prime of your life. And y'all are in raw obedience because I will show the pictures of y'all traveling. Now, how many miles does this vehicle have on it, you said?
About 308,000, yeah.
308,000. Now, I was over here pumping gas, and she walked up to me and said, "Ma'am, why did you choose me?"
I don't know. I just felt moved to come and ask you. I felt moved. Yeah.
When I was in your position, I knew that I may have to do that, you know, and ask people to help me. And I've thought about how would I approach them and all this, you know. So I always say if anybody ever approached me, I would do my best, you know, to really help them and whatnot. But anyways, so how long have you been on the road? And how did God tell you to do it?
Well, he's been on the road for 16 months, and I am going on 5 months.
Okay.
Yes, and actually, the Lord brought him, brought him to me. I am from the other side of the country, and he's.
I'm from Maryland, and she's from Oregon, do you know? And the journey was. It's beautiful because I don't mean to cry.
That's all right.
But the journey's been tough, but it's been beautiful. And he's provided everything.
Everything.
And the Lord told you both. How long have y'all been married?
Since June.
Since June.
Oh, you're just newlyweds. Ah. Yeah. But the Lord told you to do away with technology and to hit the road.
Yeah.
Okay? So. How has it been traveling without GPS? How do you know where to go?
Got maps.
We do use maps.
Oh, okay.
Got maps. If we get it, if we get told a direction, we go the direction. If it's a town, we go there. If it's a city, we go there. I've been led to a city in New Mexico that had a water problem, and I was led there to pray for the water.
See, that's what God used to do to me. Don't think light of that. I'm telling you,
I don't.
Spirit.
I don't.
When God tells you commands to do in cities, you do it.
I do it.
Because there's principalities and powers of there that you got to deal with. That's why God has people like you on the road. Now, I served my time, and I'm telling you, I have prayed over many cities.
Yeah.
Strange prayers that, you know, people would think, why would you be praying? But God tells us to do it. We just obey. That's the key.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
You know, and he is aware of your suffering. He's aware of where y'all are at and what's happening. But what's over there is needed for you to go through what's here right now. Now, what, so you've been on the road, what, 3 months?
No, almost 16
months. It's 16
for me.
Months.
16 for you.
And 5 for me.
5 for you.
Yeah.
I know it's daunting when you're hungry and you're having to thank God, how are you going to feed me? What are some of the miracles that he's done?
One not that long ago, we were in a town at her favorite food. It was a miracle. Boy, was it a miracle.
all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet with
sushi.
Yeah.
And we had, like, the Lord blessed us through somebody with, like, $40 or something. It was only 20 bucks for gas, and we had 20 bucks change, and we went in. And I asked if we could eat for that, and they said no. And I was just praying constantly the whole time, and the gentleman right behind us bought our meal. And it was a very high-end place.
Yeah.
It wasn't a place you go in like this, and it was beautiful. But he provides all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's a food pantry, because we do have a little way to cook.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What is God telling you about this end time situation right now?
This is the end time.
This is.
This is, if I can tell anybody anything, is that Jesus is coming back. It could be today.
Right.
Be ready. Knowing your heart, to see, I can confess myself. I called myself a Christian before this started. And I said it and I thought it, but it wasn't in my heart. And our heart can deceive us.
Yeah.
So make sure in your heart of hearts, you know you're right with the Lord. Make sure you know you're right, you know, and have that confidence, you know. There's no need to shrug your head or look down. We're created to look up. Get away from the cell phones. That creates you looking down. We're made to look up where our help comes
from. Oh, that's a good one, Avery.
That's a good phone. Not in the phone. Man.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to Google for what you...
Okay, last question, and I got to go. My daughter's...
All right.
She's got to go to the doctor.
No worries.
Where did you start 5 months ago when y'all got together?
In Oregon. Oh,
okay, so y'all come this far since then.
Yeah.
Probably like
10,000 miles.
Do you know where you're going, or are you just following by the day?
So we just really try to let the Holy Spirit lead us.
Oh, okay.
And that takes a lot of praying, and then going by faith, like Hebrews 11 talks about, that by faith thing is key. Believing that he is in control. If you believe that he's all-knowing, then you gotta believe he already knows. So going in faith like that, even when things tear up on the van, knowing that he already knew that was going to happen.
Exactly.
And he's already got the answer.
All right, I want to pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for my brother and sister, Lord. How my heart goes out to them, because I've been there. And I know, Lord, the hardness of what it is that they're doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have went before them and that this is all for a reason, Lord. I thank you for putting divine people in their path, Lord, blessing them in many ways, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for opening their eyes to the Spirit, Lord, and protecting them with angelic protection, Lord, on the road, Lord. We know that our battle is not with flesh and blood.
Amen.
But it's with the principalities and the powers of the air, Lord. And I pray that you use them mightily out here, Lord. Use them, Lord, to pray for the sick, Lord. Laying hands on the sick that they shall recover. Casting out demons, Lord. Helping the oppressed, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting them in my path today, Lord. You are so amazing. Lord, heal them in every way. Lord, bless their marriage, Lord. Bless them in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so then I left there, and I called Dennis. Now, imagine this call. Now, here's Dennis. He's out there just working in the yard like he normally does. Right now, he's making us paths behind the house, because his daughter, he was sending her pictures how he was putting cedar shavings and making a walkway. You know how Dennis is with his mind, but making a walkway from the gate over to the deck, and then, you know, over to the other fence. And she goes, well, why don't you put a border on it? So here goes Dennis, goes off and cuts some cedar trees down and makes a beautiful cedar path. mean, you know how Dennis is. I'm going to have to take pictures and show you. Just so unique, just like he is. But anyway, so he's back there working, and I call him, and I'm like, honey, I was at the store, you know, and God brought this couple to us. So they're on their way to the house, and me and Dennis are one. I mean, I'm so happy that I've been able to experience this in my lifetime, to have somebody that I know I can make decisions in a, you know, in a second like this, that we would be in one mind, one accord. But I told him, somebody's coming. I won't be able to be there, maybe not even today, you know. But will you take care of him? Oh, yes, yes. So he gets off the phone, and he goes and gets everything ready for him. And, you know, he prepared the place. He had 30 minutes until they arrived. And then they told me when they left that he was the most gracious host. When they pulled up, he greeted them and welcomed them to the farm and showed them around, took them around to the animals in the bag and showed them all that. And, you know, just gave them water and food, and they took showers and washed clothes. And, you know, so I knew that they were in good hands. You know, even if I had to stay the night with my daughter or whatever. So now, after I get off the phone with him, I am on fire. I am like, God, this is that charge I needed. This is that boost I needed, was to know that you're still using me. You know, I love to bless. And this farm here is meant to, this is what it's here for. It's not ours. This is Garden of Eden Farm for people to travel through and rest. And then they can go pray in the garden. This was for the Garden of Eden, duh, you know. They can pray and rest and be rejuvenated. We've had people come here just to get baptized, you know, stuff like that. And so it just really supercharged me and everything, you know, and I just prayed in the spirit all the way to my daughter's. And then I get there and realize I'm up against the, you know, the spirit of death. And so I battled that spirit, you know, which I know that's why God had me up there. And then on my way home, I cried all the way home, realizing the hold that the devil had on my children and how I'm going to have to, you know, ramp it up with my intercessory and prayer and stuff. So when I got home, they was waiting up on me. So we was up till 1:15 in the morning, you know, just talking. And so I wrote it all down this morning in my prayer closet. So I'm just going to read it to you. As I wrote it, these are my thoughts about their visit. Now, they ended up not staying the whole 3 days. They ended up leaving the next day, you know, which is fine. Okay. So, both of them are 40 years old, and God told him a year prior to marrying her that he was to go on the road with no cell phone or electronics, and then he met her. Now, she is from Oregon, but they lived in Maryland. I mean, not Maryland, but Montana. And so they lived in Montana for a while. Now, his parents are very wealthy, and they think he is completely bonkers. So they have disavowed him. He has never been married before, kind of like Dennis. He's never been married before, but she was married once to an abusive man. He looks like a modern day Jesus, very handsome, with brown long hair and a beard with sandals, very fit, and brown eyes. She's a beautiful blonde, a lot shorter than him, innocent looking, with long hair and blue eyes, very fit. She is 1 month pregnant. So imagine that, pregnant and on the road. her family was very controlling, and they thought she had went crazy when she went off the grid. But she is very much in line with what he's doing, his radicalness, and she is in one mind and one accord with him as well. Okay, so she is all about what they're doing. You know, he's not holding her captive or anything. I mean, it's her really wanting to do this type of deal. She, on their car, they had it all with a marker, a bunch of writings, which I posted the pictures on Van. But on her hat, her little beanie hat, she had a like a postcard, an index card with Jesus Loves You on the front, where she had decorated that with markers. In the beginning, I thought they were prophets, and God brought them here for us to receive a word, whether God wanted to rebuke us or correct us or just give us direction or encourage us. We've had all kinds here. And we're welcome to it. You know, I had a prophet here a few years ago, and she very much corrected me, you know, and I received it. I repented and received it because God knows what we need. Amen. But come to find out, God sent them here for them to be corrected and aligned. He had a doctrine in his head of that people, it's kind of like that one doctrine that I was telling you guys about, that what's his name believed that just died. What was that guy's name? Vaudi Bacham. It's the way that religion believes is kind of like Anabaptist. He's really more like a Anabaptist, like them, the Reformed, what they call Reformed doctrine. But it's where you believe in this once saved, always saved. And they believe that only certain people are chosen. So everybody else is just destined to go to hell. Like, they believe that it's just God has chosen, people are predestined to go to heaven, they're predestined to go to hell. And so we had a really good theological discussion. And I asked him things that, which I know was just led of the Lord, but I asked him things that would make him think. I would tell him, okay, so if you think, you know, because I really talked to him like a mama, you know, not judging, but just talking where he can just kind of rethink what he's thinking. So I said, let me ask you this. If you think that everybody is just chosen, they're predestined, there's no choice that they have on salvation, then why do you have signs on your vehicle? What is the purpose of going out to even witness to people? If they're already chosen, what's the dealio? I mean, if people are chosen and can live the life they want to because they're always saved, what's the point of casting out demons? I said, the casting out demons is for the children's bread. That is a gift to the body. You don't cast demons out of sinners. It would make it worse on them because it's a house. These demons fill the house. So if you cast the demons out, they're going to go out, and the Bible says this, they gather seven more, okay? And then they bring them back to the house, and then it will kill the person. It will make it worse on them, you know? So it's the children's bread because, you know, and I was explaining to him how we get saved and stuff, and how your salvation is just the door. Jesus is the door. And so everything has to be done after that. You're a new creation. So it's all just a renewing of the mind. And the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions is what's at battle here. Because you have the spirit and the flesh, and it's always battling each other. So I'm having this conversation with him about doctrine, you know. And you know, I had already told him, you know, just a little bit of my story and whatnot. And he was, you know, kind of knocking people with education. You know, you don't need a Bible college and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I kind of corrected him on that, too. I said, well, what you need to remember is everybody's on different paths. You know, God's going to call people to different things. And he does call people to Bible college. So... And then I told him, my family had no education. I was the first one. And God knew for me to get to the White House, I had to have these credentials. So, you know, you can't knock God because he wants to send people to get an education or do whatever, you know. So going back to the subject of the predestination, when I asked him about the writing on the car, he said, well, it just opens up conversation and makes people think. I said, yeah, but if you're not telling people they have hope, you know, and whatnot, whatnot. So he really bucked me, you know, on the first night, this long conversation we had till 1:15 in the morning. And he said, I'm not going to receive from a prophet woman that is not having her head covered, you know, which is goes back to that Anabaptist stuff. And I told him, I said, well, then why do you have long hair? I mean, you know, if you're going to go to that level, why do you have long hair? You know, which really made him think. But anyway, then he tells me that him and her did not get married in a legal setting, that they just said the vows. And I just told him, no, sir, it doesn't work that way. I said, you have to get married before God and man. You have to be right. He said, no, ma'am. He said, I am a sovereign citizen. I am, I'm not of this world. So I don't have to go by the world's laws. And, you know, we got married before God, and that's what's important. And I tell him, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I hear you, you know, and I get it that you feel this way. But when you take a vehicle and you drive on the roads, then you are in another world. That's no way around it. There are laws that have to be fulfilled out here. And, you know, the citizens, they pay for that road system. So, you know, you have to be giving under Caesar what's due to Caesar, you know. So you have to have a driver's license. He doesn't have a driver's license. He does. She doesn't have a driver's. They got one. It's not that it's revoked or anything. It's just that they have nothing tying them to this. In their mind, they have nothing tying them to this world, okay? And so I'm gently trying to correct him because I have done many people over the years about this doctrine of not wanting to get married before a court, you know, and not doing it right. And so I told him, you know, sir, look, I have a license. I can marry you. But you have to, I think you have to have a driver's license to even get a marriage license in the state, you know. But you need to do things right before God and man, you know. And then I tried to tell him, you know, look, God didn't bring you to a woman, you know, that's a White House correspondent that knows what's going on out here to tell you what is coming for nothing. God, you know, God is trying to help you to see that, you know, although you feel this way about your sovereignty and everything, you know, there are serious other things that you need to consider here. You know, there's lockdowns coming. And the fact, And I told him this, because I know I'll never see these people again. You know, this is a, God put them people in my path, you know, to try to help them to see what they're not seeing, okay? But not force it on them or be mean to them about it, but just really loving them and warning them. So I told him, I said, you know, Trump, I said, he has foreign countries building ships. This is so sick when you're telling somebody don't know nothing. That is going to take what he calls illegals, which are going to be people that's not going to obey his law. And they're going to take people out of this country. And he's sending them to these horrible foreign camps. You know, and I told him about Guatemala and all that other kind of stuff. So, in these lockdowns, you know, when they lock down these interstates and stuff, you know, they're going to be looking for identification. I said, now, I tell my people that they need to have their stuff updated because, you know, to be legal and then to see where they're going and whatnot. And then I told him, I said, and also you do realize that, you know, as you're traveling this country, that the beast eyes are everywhere. You know, you're not hiding out there because you're not in a house. You are even more exposed than everybody else because you're out there on the road and there are cameras all over the roads. There are sensors out there and they're... Every time you ride by, you know, they're taking your picture, you know, your license plate. I mean, they know where you are. You see what I mean? I wanted him to know that even though he has let go of technology and he has, you know, released himself, that it's bigger than he thinks, you know, type of deal. And then I explained to him about, you know, Trump having the armies all over the country. And I explained to him about what Checkpoint Charlies are and beast drones, beast towers, and what they do. And, you know, I mean, I filled him with a lot of information that night, you know, trying to help him to see. And, you know, like, so that he's wise, you know, when he does things, that he considers what's around him. So, let me see, I'm going to go back to my notes here. After it was all said and done, the Holy Spirit on the next day, because they was going to stay 3 days, but I don't know if he got offended so much that night that he wanted to leave me the next day. Or if the Lord just actually led him to leave the next day. I don't know. But, you know, he come over and they ate with us. We cook them breakfast. And, you know, I went over there. I said, well, before y'all leave, I want to bless you. And so I brought him over to the office because we keep it locked up, you know, to protect the stuff. And so I brought him in there. And I explained every single book. And I gave them every one of my books. I said, when y'all are on the road and you're somewhere, you can read these. And it tells you all about what they're doing. And this was the key. And I believe the whole reason for this man coming was my Snookums book, which I told him is the White House edition because God told me to give it to all of the news media and the Secret Service, and how after that they all loved me. And it really did make a difference in there. But so I was explaining to him about the dream that God gave me about trees. And this is what changed that man's life. Listen to this. I said, you know, when I was writing this book, God gave me a dream. I said, and this is how he showed me about what salvation is. I said, ma'am, I said, you're pregnant. I said, you have a little bitty plant growing on the inside of you, inside of your womb. And that is encased in water. Okay? You are a tree. We're all trees in God's great garden. We're only here one time. We only have one chance. Now, when that plant grows inside of you and it goes down the path to come out into the matrix, which is what the Bible says it is, when the plant comes out, it is now exposed to a very evil world. And this plant does not get to choose who the parents were. It doesn't get to choose the location it's born. It doesn't get to choose the color of bark it has, or even the kind of bark it is. It doesn't get to choose the kind of leaves that it has, what kind of glory it has. It is just there. Then this little plant grows up in the environment that it's in. And it begins to learn who that it is based upon the environment it's in and what the parent trees tell it and what the community tells it and what they teach him and what schools he went to. And it begins to learn about himself in the worldly system, in the worldly kingdom. It builds an identity. I said, but then one day that tree looks up and says, hey, there really is a creator out here. My tree doesn't belong to me, really. I have a farmer that needs to tend to my tree. So I choose you, creator. And I give you my tree. I want you to come in my heart and I want you to save me. I said, and then God showed me a supernatural thing that happens to that tree whenever it makes that decision. And every tree in the garden has to decide. The roots of the tree, which before this time is hollow, it's empty, has no purpose. It's only a shell of the identity of the outside, the worldly identity. But when it gets saved and truly connects to the creator of all the garden, the roots go down into a supernatural rivers of living water that is only available to those who will humble themselves and will submit to him. Then the waters connect to heaven. And then the tree is alive. Now it realizes, oh, I am alive. I can see the trees and the birds. And I see God is so beautiful here. And now the water is flowing up in the tree, coming out the branches. And now the sun is Jesus Christ, is now shining on the tree like photosynthesis. So the sun and the water meet. And now it's bearing fruit. Now the tree is like, oh, wow, I am alive. And now the tree has to learn who he really is. It's not what the outside worldly skin has defined of this tree. It is what God has defined for the tree. And God has a destiny for every tree in the garden. So as long as they keep a fence out of their heart, they can bear much fruit in the kingdom. And discovered, oh, let me tell you something. The presence of God was all over this office. He was crying. Him and his wife. Because God was convicting them about, not accepting everyone. And then I explained how they lose their salvation, their oil. How they lose their water and their fruit is they get offended. I said, the devil comes And he pulls an arrow back and says, offense. And in the tree that's so happy in the garden, sees the arrow coming and pushes it back with its limb and says, I forgive. I'm not accepting that. So he goes right back to the devil. But then the devil comes back with a bigger plan and says, now I'm going to offend you so bad. It's going to hurt you so bad to the core. And this one said, big offense. When that arrow comes, the tree looked at it and said, I don't know. That one hurts real bad. And the tree opened up its arms wide. And that arrow hit the tree and went bam and made a big gash right down the center of the tree. The tree opened up and exposed the heart, which is what the devil wants, is the heart. So now the devil has an exposed heart. And now there's 1,000 arrows out there. Stealing, lying, cheating, yada, 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 yada. All these sins on these arrows hitting the tree. Bam! Bam! Well, every arrow that hit the tree went down into the tree and went clog and clogged up the root to where the waters can't get in. The next offense, clog, clog, clog. Well, then the water's not able to come up in the tree. And then the tree gets bitter and it gets cold and bitter. And then the sun starts burning it instead of enjoying it because it was full of water. Now it's burning it. So the tree chooses to walk out of the garden. It's all a choice. So I told him, we cannot deny people access to the garden. We cannot deny them forgiveness and love. Everyone has access to salvation and deliverance and healing. And we have to have that door open. Oh, man, he was so thankful because that gave him a vision, a visual that and I told him, I said, think of it like this. When you're out there and somebody comes up to you and they're lame, they're sick, they need Jesus, they're hurting, whatever the issue is, and it comes to you, walks up to your face, and all of you should know this. When somebody comes up and they just start vomiting their issues and just start telling you their problems, the first thing you should think of is the kingdom of God has come. Because you are not the answer, but you have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. So what you do is whatever this issue is that's been brought to you, you have the answer. If they come up and I need salvation, let's pray the salvation prayer. They come up to you and they're sick, let's pray for you to get healed. If they come up to you and they start growling or their eyes rolling in the back of their head, say, devil, come out and deal with this devil. Cast these devils out. If they come up to you and they're sad, cast out oppression and depression. Pray for them. Pray that God, and I pray this a lot, that God would, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the searcher of man's hearts. So what I pray is Holy Spirit, go down in there and heal them roots. Pull all that mess out. All that hurt and offense and all these issues that they have had, Lord. Pull them out. Heal them. Deliver this tree. Because the tree wants to be free. That's why deliverance is the children's bread. Okay, so let's get back to my story here. So needless to say, he came one way and he left another. God brought him here, this young man, to help him to see. Son, open your arms wider. Love people more. You know, let them in. Okay, so Give everyone a chance. And then we prayed, you know, and I prayed to anoint them and all this other stuff. Now, she told me that she had taken the vaccine. Now, I have been telling her and him about the vaccine and what I believe and what it does. I saw the look on her face, which God has showed me over the years, what I can tell basically when I talk about who is taking it because of the conviction that comes on their face. But I don't say nothing. But if they confess, then there you go. You know, so she did. And she explained that her work pressured her. She was working in a child care and they made everybody go get it, yada yada. So she caved. And she said, I have asked God to forgive me. I'm so ashamed of it. I said, well, did you take more than one? And she said, no, she only took the one. I was like, whew, you know. I said, you're going to have to renounce it. She goes, I did. I said, did you say I renounce? I come out of agreement. So she ended up praying with me, which was a shock. And she did agree with me. She prayed. I come out of agreement with this thing, you know, because I don't know her soul. I'm not God and I'm not her judge. But I believe for all people that have taken it, that if there is any way for them to have mercy, they're going to have to renounce it. Because Satan is a legalist. Y'all have to know this. Satan is a legalist. So she opened the door by letting it in. So she has to shut the door. Okay, so if there is a chance, she has to deal with that. So we did. I asked him, going back to the doctrine of the once saved, always saved, and predestination, that some people are chosen to go to hell and some are chosen to go to heaven. I said, well, my niece that we pray for a lot has been going through a lot of spiritual warfare. She has bought the lie on the other side. The devil has convinced her that she is destined for hell based on that predestination doctrine, that she was just never meant to have a chance with God. And I told him, sir, do you believe that? Do you believe that God would allow a human to come here and just not ever have a chance? That they're just here for no absolute purpose, just to go to hell? And, I mean, what kind of God is that? I don't believe that, sir. I said, I told my niece, I definitely don't believe that with her. No, that is a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the pits of hell. That's why this doctrine is so dangerous. Because everyone, until the day they die, just like the thieves on the cross with Jesus, everyone has a chance. I don't care what they have done in their life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody has a right to get saved in the kingdom. And as long as they keep their heart humble, where they ask for forgiveness and keep themselves submitted before God, they have to endure till the end. The key is where people get in danger is offense, because they get prideful in offense and they don't want to receive any correction. They get to where they think they know it all. And this is what I told him when I, you know, thought he was a prophet there for me. I told him, hey, you know, if God has given you anything, please let it go, you know, because I love when God sends prophets to correct me, you know, so I'm not above correction. And if we ever get to that point where we're above correction, we're backslid. We have to keep our heart in an attitude of humbleness and correction so that God can correct type of deal. So then I asked him, how do you know, sir, since you believe in once saved, always saved, and you believe in the doctrine of predestination that only certain people get to heaven, when you're out there on the road, how do you know who is chosen and who's not? And he said, well, I just trust God to lead me to the right people. You know, he said, I'm not like them other preachers, you know, that get out there with a megaphone and they just preach to everybody, you know. And I told him, I said, well, I believe everyone does have access. You know, everyone has access to God and everyone can get saved type of deal. And then I asked him, sir, if you believe that way, do you believe in the serpent seed doctrine? And he said, what is that? And I said, a lot of people, okay, because remember he already said that he was sovereign. And now he's telling me that he is predestination, you know, kind of like the Vadi Bakum guy. Once saved, always saved, you know, that Reformation doctrine. The Reformed, not Reformation, but Reformed doctrine. A lot of them believe in the serpent seed. So the serpent seed doctrine is where you believe that Adam and Eve, that Eve didn't eat of a fruit apple, but she actually had sex with Satan. And that's what begot the Nephilim. That's where the Nephilim come from. And the seed of Canaan. You know, the Canaanites type of deal. He goes, no, I don't believe that. I said, okay, I was just wondering. But after they went to bed that night, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I do have people on the road that are out of the system, that have no identification, that are, that I have, kind of like nomad, what they call like a nomad, but people that are hidden, that he uses, you know, to go out there, that's out of the system completely, that's out there ministering on the streets type of deal. And I thought, well, forgive me for judging, if I'm judging him, you know, I'm just trying to help him type of deal. Then I found out after they left that they legally could be married, even though they did it the way they did. They said they had lived in the state of Montana. That's where they got married. Come to find out, in the state of Montana, that is legal. It's called common law marriage. If you confess to the public that you are married, you are common law in Maryland. So I guess technically they really could be married before God's eyes. You know, it's just, I'm just telling them the way I understand it. In my state, you have to do it this way, but all states are not like that. And Montana is one of those. So anyways, that kind of helped me with that issue. But the Lord told me that he does have people that have no ties to the country, that are hidden. Now, I do want to tell you a few of the stories that he told me. One of them was, now, he has this van that he has in the back of the van, a bed, and then they have the sides on it, you know, with their clothes. It's really neat. They have underneath it, you know, they have their little storage with their food and stuff. And just, and they have a curtain that blocks them from the front of the vehicle when at night, you know, when they're in the back sleeping. It's pretty cool the way they got it set up in there. Now, one time he was at a park and he was asleep overnight and he just left his doors open. He said it was a beautiful night. And this is where they got married. And he was just laying there, you know, sleeping and everything. And he woke up and he looked and there was a moose. A moose right at his feet, his nose. He said he was so big that his horns went way outside the perimeter of the vehicle, so he couldn't get his nose any closer to me. But his horns had stopped him, and all that was inside his van was this big-headed moose. So he said, well, good morning to you, sir. He said he petted the moose and everything. It was the coolest thing. And then he got out, and I told Dennis, I said, I didn't know mooses were that big. He said, yeah, they are. I'm like, wow. But he said that the wife and the kids were outside the van on the other side. But it was a whole family of moose that had approached him and everything. And that was so cute. And then when he first got started a year and a half ago, he needed a vehicle. And so this man told him, he said, I got a van that I will sell you that has 200-something thousand miles on it that I will sell you for $2,500. So he said, okay. So he didn't know how he was going to pay for it. So he got the van and he signed a contract that he would pay within this amount of time. So he's going down the road and he comes to this one state and he sees these rocks. And God tells him, go over there and pick up them rocks and put them in your van. And he's like, that's a weird request, you know, which like I was telling you guys earlier in the conversation, when you're out there on the road serving God, he will have you do the weirdest things, but you find out later why. So you just learn to obey and just do it. So he puts these big old heavy things in his car. So he drives down the road, and several states later, he meets this man. And this, he's showing this man these rocks. He's like, oh, you ain't gonna believe what those are. He's like, what? He said, they're meteorites. He said, you can get a lot of money off them things. He said, what? So they went to the store, and the guy told him, oh, yeah, you can get a lot of money for these. So God told him to take those rocks and take them all the way back to the man that he owes the money, the $2,500, and he gave those rocks to that man, all of them. He said that man got at least three times what he was owed. So God bless that man for blessing him. That was a cool story. Then Satan tempted him. Oh, why don't you go back and get a bigger rock and then you can have money? Yeah. So he goes back and he gets one. He said he carried that thing. It was so heavy. He liked to have never got in there. Because he needed money so bad. So but he said the devil really tortured him about it and everything. So a couple of states over, he just he had all he could take. And he took that rock out and busted it in 1,000 pieces. He's like, no, Satan. You know. So that was a funny story. But he said that they had ministered to people everywhere. And that most people are very nice and giving, which is really nice to hear. He had Satan approach him one time. This man approached him. He said he looked like he was maybe midlife. And he said, if you could think of a suit that some millionaire would be wearing, some very nice suit with the cuffs and all this. He said, that was this man. He said, I've never seen anybody look so pristine and sharp like this man was. And he walked up towards me. He said, evil. I could feel the evil. And he come at me and he charged at me. Like, you know, he was fixing to jump on me. And then I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And he was gone. So that was one of the experiences that he had. And now we told them, whenever they got here, that we are very practical. And I told them, since I understand where you guys are at and your suffering that you're in, I want to help you to be successful. So the Lord's already showed me one way that we can help you is your van. We can take tomorrow, because you know I was telling him the day before, tomorrow we can take everything out of your van. We can clean your van. We can organize it, put it all in, you know, these little boxes and stuff. And then we can really fix your van up, you know, and get it ready. Maybe build you a box on the back for extra storage and stuff like that, you know. But I wanted, and I told him, I said, and I noticed your feet, you know, I said, we can, you know, get your feet shaved, soak them in some Epsom salt and stuff like that, you know, and that's what I was planning on doing. Of course, I didn't get to because I ended up leaving the next morning. But, if God ever opens the door for you guys, and you have these type of people come your way, and they come to your house, treat them like it's Jesus himself, really. Because I remember, and the Lord did remind me of this, about the situations I had in Washington, D.C., whenever I had a need. Okay, me and Dennis have a need right now, you know, a financial need for this land. And then here, God brings homeless people to me. If I don't take care of their need, God will not take care of my need. And God showed me that in Washington. Remember I told you the story of when I was the captain of the U.S. Capitol, and I was finishing my work one day, and I was walking to the tube to ride the bus or the train, you know, over to my apartment. And I was walking by all these congressmen and stuff, and we was right in front of the Republican Country Club and the RNC building. And there was a homeless man there asking for money, and everybody's just ignoring him or whatnot. Well, I had $5 $1 bills, and I was going to use that to get me something to eat at McDonald's or whatever. And so I was walking by him, and I felt sorry for him, and I thought, well, I'll give him a $1. So I got a $1 out, and I was so proud and happy that I was able to give him something. You know, is what I was thinking in my mind. So I give him this $1, and I said, here you go, sir. And, you know, by talking to him and looking at him in the eye, that's what they want is, do you see me? Do you see my suffering? You know, not that we have the $1 million to help him get out, but we can let them know we see your suffering. We just want to bless you a little bit, you know. So he's like, thank you, ma'am. So I walk on, I'm going down the escalator, and God spoke to me. He goes, why didn't you give him all your money? Oh, I was so embarrassed because God busted my greediness. I just kind of dropped my head and I said, Lord, I was hungry and I wanted to take that $4 and go get me something at McDonald's, you know. And he said, now go back and give that man all your money. I said, yes, sir, please forgive me. So I get on the escalator, come back up, and I walk up to him. And I said, sir, I need to repent to you. I said, I was over on that escalator going down, and God rebuked me and told me I should have gave you all my money. Really, sir, I have $4 other. I was told him, you know, I wanted it so I could get me something to eat, but you know, God wants you to have it, so here you go, sir, and please forgive me. Well, he stood up and started crying. And he said, will you please pray for me? And I really prayed for him. And I was telling this couple this story, too. I said, when I prayed for that man, the sun shined on me so beautifully, which he did a lot when I traveled the country with the sun. And he let me know, I see you, you know, this is beautiful to me for you to give. I love giving. I love blessing. And so I walked off from there, man, I was on cloud nine. I didn't care if I had a dollar, if I ate, you know. So I get in the train and I'm like, Thank you, Lord. That was so awesome to be able to bless this guy. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me, yada, yada. So I get out of the train, and I get a phone call. Ma'am, do you have your rent paid this month? I said, no. She goes, how much is it? I said, $1,750. And she goes, well, the Lord told me to pay your rent, so give me their phone number. Bam! God told me if you wouldn't have gave that man $5, I wouldn't be giving you $1,750. So, yes, sir. So, the next month rolls around. I need my rent. I have no money. $1,750. So, this woman calls me. Now, I have been with President Trump. You know, when you're on the press corps, guys, to me, that is the hardest job in the White House, is being on the press corps. Because being on the press corps means that you work in there. So you're following Trump, everything he's doing. You know, he keeps you on your toes. So the night before, I had worked to like 2 o'clock in the morning at the White House. And then the next morning, got up at 5 o'clock because he had something else going on. And so I was just slaving to the bone. I was so exhausted. And then I get a phone call. I have a friend that's in town, and she's homeless, and she lives in her car, and she has a 9-year-old girl in a wheelchair. And is there any way they can stay at your house, at the apartment? Well, see, when I got that apartment, when I finally was able to get one in D.C., I told the Lord, Lord, I need 2 bedrooms and 2 baths because I want to take your people in, Lord. And so God granted my request. So I always have a prophet's quarters everywhere I live. For God's people, you feel that, that's your bed, okay? So I said, no, I'm too tired. I am so exhausted. I am going home. I am collapsing. She goes, well, you got to eat, don't you? She said, at least let us take you to eat. I said, all right. So I went to eat, and we're sitting outside, and here's the little wheelchair girl beside me and the mother in front of me. And I look over, and there's a storm approaching. And, you know, it's all lightning and everything, thundering and stuff. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, whose apartment is that? I dropped my head again. He caught me in my, you know, greediness again or whatever. I said, it's yours, Lord. And he said, let them stay. Yes, sir. So I told her, ma'am, the Lord just spoke to me and said that he really would like for you guys to come to my house tonight. Would y'all mind coming? Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. So they get there, and I lived in this big tower apartments, you know, one of them real high, 30 stories high towers. And they couldn't get a place to park, but it wasn't if they really stayed. It was, would you open your apartment that I pay for, that I own? And when I said yes, and he saw that my obedience towards his will, then the next day, I got a phone call. The Lord told me to pay your rent, $1,750. So God paid it. So now here we are, bam, 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 all the way here in the future. Me and Dennis both have a need. This couple shows up, this homeless couple. I know how God is. So they come here, and I want to bless them. So, because I feel like, you know, they're on a mission from God, whether I understand it or not, about their marriage or anything else. I'm not their judge. They're on a mission from God, and I do believe that God is in control here, you know. And after I found out afterwards anyways, you know, that they really are married. So that made me feel better. But at least God had me address it, you know, and to warn them about what I saw coming with Trump and what's happening on the interstate system, since they are out there driving on the interstate system. And, you know, the different plots and plans that they have planned for people. With the lockdowns and with the Trump military and in January, you know, with him putting the military in all states, you know, and with the famine and the chaos and all that kind of stuff coming. And so at least I was able, you know, to warn them and to prepare them and to pray for them and to bless them with the books. So let me just finish with what I wrote this morning. Okay. Overall, God wanted me to help them to see that the once saved, always saved doctrine was in error, that they have to open their arms to all of God's trees in the garden. They're going to have to allow people to know that they have a chance, that there is a hope, you know, because without hope, I mean, like I was saying about my niece that, you know, believed what the devil is telling her, that she is legitimately just destined for hell. She's was never chosen to go to heaven. If people really believe that, then this world, you just can't imagine how bad the hell would be on this world. If people did not have a hope that God really could change them and turn the vilest sinner into the plan that God would have for them, it would just be devastating. And I believe the Holy Spirit had his way with that boy to help him to see that God's trees all have a chance in the garden. And then they both gave up all their identity in the world. No ID, driver's license, birth certificate, nothing. Now, she has her birth certificate. It is back home, but he has nothing. He shredded it all. But I told them, now this is my advice to them, is that they was wrong for doing that. That they needed to be right before God and man. And that when God sent me, because I feel like I have been where they're at. And I have traveled the country many times. So I feel like when I give advice, and especially since I have been there and done that, and God has tested me, tried, that I can give advice. And I told them that when God sent me on the road in 2017 on that six-month tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles, that he told me, take your paperwork, woman. Make a file and bring your birth certificate, bring your ministry paperwork, bring your licenses to show that you're a licensed minister. Bring your degrees. And so I brought all my paperwork to prove my legitimacy of being a citizen, and that what I'm telling people out here is true, who I am, and the documents to prove it. You see what I mean? And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I thought that was the weirdest instruction that God gave me, was to have my paperwork in order. But when I got out there on the road, I needed almost every one of them. I said, now, so my advice to you guys is you need to stop. You need to get your license back. You need to get your birth certificate, and you need to have your documents on your person. You know, because if you get pulled over, they will take you to jail, which I did look this up. They can give you a ticket or they can put you in jail. There is the option of that. Plus, heaven forbid you get caught up in any of these cities that are doing these raids, you know, with immigration and everything, that is a possibility. If they see you without an ID, the consequences that could happen there. And I could even marry you guys, you know, once you get your driver's license and can get you if you want to do it here in the state of Tennessee or whatever. But they believe in all of their heart that they are sovereign and that they are not of this world and they don't need any of that. And this is what they truly believe. So this is what I told them. I said, I do want to tell you guys that there is a sovereign movement out there, that they, it's people like you that give up their identity and they don't want anything to do with this country and they're not of this world, and you know, but they're going a step further and getting their citizenship in a country called The Hague, H-A-G-U-E. I said, but the government considers you terrorist, you know. So I'm just, you know, letting them know. And I said, I believe that God brought you here for you to know this, you know, to help you to see that what is coming, you're going to have that paperwork in order, you know. But in their mind, they feel like, you know, God has called them to leave that and to not have a cell phone or anything and to just go with the wind. They have their mileage covered up. They have their clock covered up. They are not measured by time, and they're not measured by stress of the mileage they're putting on the car. This is how they really feel, you know, and they just want to be a fly by night, whatever God tells them, freedom. I said, kind of like hippies. You know, these are people that I kind of see like back in the hippie days. They just wanted to be, you know, free willies out here. You know what I mean? But they truly do love the Lord and have the heart of the Lord. And they do want to help people out there and minister to people while they're out there. And I'm not their judge. And I know that God brought them there to me to gently, you know, very softly encourage him to see his people in a different way, that all the trees in the garden have a chance. I explained to him as well that although they do not want to be a part of the system, that they are in the system. When you're driving on the roads, which is built by the system, they have laws. I said, even the old patriarchs, you know, of the Bible, like Abraham, when they would go to foreign countries, you have to give unto Caesar what's due to Caesar. You have to honor those countries' laws. You just, you know, can't be like a freight train. You know, we got to walk softly, you know. I explained to him about all that I know about what is coming, just so they would know out there. I gave them all my books so that they could read them. I gave them our address and phone number and said, if you ever need us. And I told that to her as well. You know, if you ever need me as a woman. Because we are truly not their judge. And God, he did tell me he does have people out there that are hidden. So maybe, you know, God has got them hidden. But the main thing that needed to be corrected was the doctrine, you know, that he would open up his heart to other people and drop that once saved, always saved, because I told him the majority of the New Testament ain't nothing but warning. It's just warning people. I said, and then, okay, even on top of that, look in the book of Revelation, you know, where it says, even the very elect may be deceived in the last days. So that means that that's the chosen. That is, you know, and I tell him, we believe that the chosen is the way Paul describes it. Everyone that gets saved, that accepts their new identity and accepts him being over us, you know, the in him deal, that is salvation. That is opened for everyone. And once you accept that, then you begin a journey of discovering who you really are. All that outer stuff that we know about ourselves from our family history and the way that the world shaped us prior to Jesus, you know, that is all that identity. but that's not his identity. His identity is something totally different. That's why we have to change our mind and everything, you know. Now, one other thing I want to tell you, and then I'll stop, is I had a woman the other day give me a bag full of Depends, you know, the diapers, because her husband had died. Wait a minute, it was the husband. No, back up. Her mother had died. And her mother had all these leftover Depends. You know, Depends is like the diapers you wear when you get older and stuff. And so I'm thinking, it's weird that I have these because I don't need them. But do you know, God gave them to me like a week or so ago. And then here comes this woman that is homeless that needs them. Because they, you know, have a hard time finding somewhere to sleep. So I'm like, wow, that is so cool. I'm like, God, make me a conduit. Make me a conduit. You know, give it to me so it can flow out of me. You know what I mean? It's such, it just does something to you to bless people and to give and to love like that. So that's my story. And then they rode off, and I was so blessed in my heart to be able to bless them and to hear their story and hear their journey. You know, because probably won't ever see them again. But me and Dennis knew that this is Garden of Eden Farm, and this is the farm, the place that people will come for prayer and healing and restoration, and that's what happened to them. So now they're back on their road on their journey. So that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to me. Hold on.